We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Merlone, Fourier, and Mako.
Rather than listening to the rest of...
Get it!
Let me just break something up.
Oi!
I know we've changed, so I had to go to the eye doctor today.
What?
I found out... Hold on, you squirrel. So I found out I have a leaky eye.
What?
Bill, the last two meetings with the Bills did not go your way. Two full games without forcing a punt.
We had them in punt formation on first... series of the game and in the second game and gave up a fake punt. So let's put that on the defense.
Fake punt and the throw, and it's complete.
Right now at this time of year, 10th in the league in terms of most penalty yards.
We're one of the least penalized teams in the league defensively.
I think Bill has become this guy more often. The defensive, making excuses, reasoning, whatever you want to call it.
Uh-huh, defensive penalty.
Lou Merlone.
Are we talking about the lower red area, Mac? Are we talking about within the 7, within the 5, within the 4? What are we talking about, the 12?
Christian Fourier.
Don't go into the red area. Oh, it's
dangerous.
Like a haunted house.
It's dangerous.
And you'll die.
Megan Ottolini.
I hate it.
It's Merlone, Fourier, and Mega on Boston Sports Original.
Boy, you get inside the red area.
The Crocs.
Oh, you get... Now, that's the goal line. That's different than the red.
WEEI.
Oh, that dynamic red zone. Oh, Joe Judge is so dynamic.
Oh,
by the way,
gosh.
If you missed it earlier, we announced... it was a little show announcement.
Yeah.
That Brian Scalabrine is back on the show with us. He'll be on with us tomorrow at 4. He'll join us every Wednesday at 4. We got to fix this board.
Yeah. Oh, we do.
By the way.
Oh,
so,
that's right.
Yeah, so Greg
Anita
can
needs
know,
to be back on there.
So Greg
or
can,
Barry.
Yeah. So Greg can know who's on what show. We got to put Scal on there at 4 o'clock every Wednesday. I know you want to talk about gaslighting.
Yeah. Okay.
But before we do that, because this might kind of tie into what you're talking about. Tommy Curran talking about the amount of penalties this team has already had. 66 penalties this year compared to 62 the entire 2020 season with Cam Newton. It's not a very disciplined ball club, quite frankly. Over the weekend, Alan Siegel covers the Patriots as well. They're in a press conference, was talking to Bill Belichick, brought this point up about the penalties. Listen to Bill sort of try to explain this away.
Hey, Bill, you talk about playing your best game on Thursday, and that means avoiding penalties, avoiding mistakes. I did a dive on your penalties and found something unusual for your tenure here. Right now, at this time of year, you're 10th in the league in terms of most penalty yards. I'm wondering if this is just a year where, for some reason, the message is not getting through to some of the players in terms of mistakes and penalties at this time of the year.
Yeah, well, we didn't have any penalties last week offensively in Minnesota.
Yeah,
we're one of the least penalized teams in the league defensively. We have never, you know, we had a couple of penalties in the last couple of weeks, but we've been low penalties in the kicking game this year, and I think we're one of the least penalized teams defensively this year. So, and then last week we didn't have any offensive penalties in Minnesota.
Ooh.
You tell me.
No, because like you said, I saw you in 10th, and that's just unusual during your tenure here to be that up high at this time of the year.
We've never coached penalties. Not high on defensive penalties.
Huh.
Not high on defensive penalties. Very low on penalties.
Is a sleight of hand with these answers, Lou?
As a team, you're committing more penalties than your teams have in the past. Well, we're talking special teams penalties. We're talking offensive penalties.
Talking
well, certainly not defensive penalties. No. As a whole, your team is committing more penalties. It's a fact.
You got to be specific, Lou. What exactly are we talking about? Because there you can see it's like there's like an avoidance, there's a deflection when it comes to who the real, which side of the ball, what area is the culprit.
Well, it's not defense. I mean, it's not special teams either.
Nobody said it was defense.
Why are you yelling at me?
The New England Patriots in 2022.
it runs contrary to all the other stuff that he says about complementary football and all three phases of the game. And it's like, well, defense doesn't do that. Okay. We didn't say defense did. Nobody said, hey, defense is doing this. What do you have to say about that? Okay. Sure. Great for the defense. Nobody's criticized the defense. The defense is good.
Yeah. Like, and
that's not what we're talking about.
So this kind of ties into you know, what I saw early this morning when I saw the word gaslighting.
Yeah.
Anybody, do you know what gaslighting is?
Yes.
Okay, Mago, I'm sure you know what gaslighting is because it's more your generation than it is mine. But here's what gaslighting, I saw this, is Merriam-Webster's a word of 2022. So here's a quick definition of what gaslighting means, and I will explain it to you after I give this definition how it relates to what we've been talking about, what Bill has really been doing to you the entire year. Here's what gaslighting is. It's mind-manipulating, grossly misleading, downright deceitful. That's the word of the year, gaslight. Gaslighting is a heinous tool frequently used by abusers in relationships and by politicians and other newsmakers. It can be between romantic partners within a broader family unit and sometimes used by coaches to hide the truth.
You added that.
I did add that. I did add that.
See,
because
I just think it's simple. It's like manipulating you to question your own reality.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, Mego, you gave an unbelievable explanation of it, because I feel like it relates to, like, people trying to, like, you know, like, doing something bad, and then when they get caught doing it, them trying to convince you that they didn't do anything bad, that you're crazy, you're reading it wrong. Like, I didn't get home at 3 a.m. with all this lipstick all over my face. This is you. You didn't have your glasses on. You're crazy. You're crazy. You're crazy.
Well, no, it would be more like, okay, let's say that your spouse or somebody came home really late and you were pissed at them for that because that's something that you agreed that they weren't going to do and it's out of behavior. They turn it around and they're like, I didn't come home that late. And also, you're crazy. Why are you so obsessed with what time I'm coming home? You're crazy.
You're very needy.
Yeah. You know, like, they turn it around to make you out to be the one in the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you start going, am I crazy?
Yeah, you're questioning everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Am
so.
So, but really, they're the person who's doing the thing that they're just trying to deflect from.
And I feel like this has been happening. I feel like Bill's been doing this, and I didn't even realize it was happening till we mentioned this yesterday early in the show, but we never got back to it. Because you go back to Monday morning when Bill Belichick was on Greg Hill's show, Chris Curtis asked him this question relating to, you know, playing the Bills and, like, is this personal? And then Bill gave this answer about the punt team.
Bill, the last two meetings with the Bills did not go your way. Two full games without forcing a punt. How personally do you take the inability of this defense to stop Josh Allen, and is that part of the motivation as you prepare for Thursday night to host those Bills?
Yeah. Well, again, it's a big challenge playing Buffalo. We got, we need everybody to play well. I mean, we had them in punt formation on the first series of the game and in the second game and gave up a fake punt. So that's, I don't really put that on the defense. But regardless, they moved the ball consistently against us. We certainly didn't make them punt in the playoff game. So, yeah, we know it's a big challenge, and we're going to have to play better than we played against in the last 2 weeks in every area of the game.
So this is what gaslighting about. The reality is that didn't happen. Like in the second game, not the snow game, the second game, the week 16, they did not line up in punt formation. When you look at the Week 16 game log back to the last year, it shows no record of a Bills fake punt.
No.
Like, you got to go back to 2020.
It happened the year before.
Yes. And I have a hard time believing Bill kind of forgot about that aspect. Here's a guy that doesn't forget about anything.
He's not good with history.
Sure enough, here he is. He's asked a question about his defense, not being able to stop Josh Allen, and he gaslights you into thinking that they're better than they really are, that they did a better job against Josh Allen. Like, that's what gaslighting is, and that's what Bill has been doing. And there's more examples of it, because I feel like there's been going on all year.
Well, let's stick with that one real quick, because, Christian, it's not just a one-off game. It's not the Vikings, who you play every 4 years, so maybe you forget that it was not this year. It was actually that year with that quarterback. You saw this divisional opponent 3 times last season. And instead, you're going back and grabbing something from 2020 when you had a different quarterback and not even one of the Brady years, the 1 year that you had Newton? Like, that doesn't make any sense. That seems deliberate to me.
Yeah, and I feel like it is deliberate, because I don't think that he would kind of, you know, get the two, he would be confused by what happened in 2020. So it's a version of him protecting his defense, you know, kind of like downplaying what Josh Allen and the Bills were able to do. The embarrassing factor that in those last two games, the playoff game and the last game of the regulars that they played against the Bills last year, the 16th game, 80 total points in those two games. 80. They didn't punt once. So I do think there's this, I saw it, I was like, wait, this is usually, it's like the emperor has no clothes. That's how you would normally, you know, explain something to try and get somebody to believe something that isn't real. No, the emperor has new clothes on. No, he doesn't. He's butt naked. No, he isn't. You're just stupid. You can't see it. That's what gaslighting is. The word of the year, which I feel like is happening over and over again.
Well,
and
it's
just a sign
too,
of how insecure he is about his
entire
team.
And I get it. The guy,
team.
You know, his resume, and it's well-deserved. He's the greatest coach of all time, but he's also got a willing audience, you know, that is willing to sit there, to your point, and, you know, believe that, you know, you're not allowed to judge a team until week 5 or week 7.
Yeah, that's another one.
You know, that you're not allowed, that truly believe that NFL players aren't in game condition until weeks 5 and 6, because he told us that too. You know what I mean? He also told us that you can't run play action against man-to-man. And it made us all question, like, okay, well, then why do you run play action?
Yeah.
I thought it was to suck up linebackers and get something to the point where Dan Orlovsky, when I asked him the other day if he agreed with it, he's like, I can kind of understand where he's coming from, but no, I don't. Because I don't think it benefits you. I mean, it's even in camp, it's like, why are you guys worried about results? It's not about results.
Let's hear that one.
It's about process.
How about you're down at camp every day and you think that the offense looks really bad, so you're trying to ask about the progress that you're making with your offense.
Well, again, if you look at the result of the play, I mean, that's one thing. If you look at the 22 components of the play, 11 on each side, that's a totally different breakdown. There's an element of both, but if you don't get the, you don't get the 11 things right, eventually you're going to have problems. So it might look good on a particular play out here, might look bad if something different had happened on the play. I know you're very results oriented. I get that, but it's more than just the result of the play. It's what all 22 people are doing.
I understand you guys like to see the guy in the end zone or a pass completed. It looks ugly when you see a run stuff, what would have been a sack. That looks bad to you, but it's actually not bad. It's not bad.
No,
you don't know.
No, it's not
when
good
you look
at
all 22 components, it's not bad.
To me, it's just that, listen, I know we've been discussing it all year, and it's just part of their DNA now. Like, because you don't have the success to rest on. So you can say whatever the hell you want to say if you're winning.
Good plays aren't all good plays.
There you go. There's another one. There's just example after example.
How about titles don't matter?
That's the other one.
We all kind of know they do.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Titles aren't the most important thing in the world around here to us. Winning is.
Since when? Titles are only not important when you don't want them to be. But now, because I have in my book that titles were important, now I should get rid of that page, well, now they are?
The reality is that nothing is really as important as, you know, as long as you're winning. That's what it should be. Titles aren't important as long as we keep winning.
Yes.
And once we stop winning, all of a sudden stats do matter. They're no longer for losers. You know, all of a sudden, like, it's not about, you know, I don't even know, because for years it was always like, you're playing your best football in December. Well, the last 3 years they played their worst football in December, but apparently that doesn't mean anything anymore. You know, so it's like all this foundation pieces, or like the words that he used to use, going against all of them now all of a sudden, and just sort of making things up and trying to convince you, you know, that
things are better than they really are,
or just that
you're crazy.
All the stuff I said before, don't listen to that.
Yeah.
It's not about results. It's about process.
The stats are for losers.
I mean, all of it.
The penalties things is interesting too. Like, it's like he mentions, like, obviously there's an uptick in penalties, much more than there have been in the past, and I would say critical mistakes at really important times in games. Forget about the numbers of penalties. Like, let's talk about when they actually happened. Like, when everybody tenses up, like the red zone. Like, how many times have they been kicked out of the red zone or out of field goal position?
But what is the red area?
Well, it depends. it depends. And are we talking about the fringe? We're talking about high red, tight red, low red? Are we talking about goal line?
Or 20?
What if you had the 30? What if you had the 30 and a half?
It's dynamic, I tell you. And then you got guys, too, like his boy Lombardi. You know what I mean? Same thing.
He was gaslighting us, too.
Same thing. Who actually said in his podcast that if you're blaming the poor offense on coaches, you're just being naive.
Yeah.
And you're like, hold on. All right? Like, for years, it was always like the last thing you want a rookie quarterback or like a young quarterback is to have different offensive coordinators the first 2-3 years of his career, right? Because it's just too hard for him. Well, this guy's going through it, Mac Jones, but that's not the problem.
It's not the plays. It's the mistakes they're making in the game. Now, you can blame it on the coaches all you want. I think that's pretty naive if you want to do it.
He wanted to say stupid.
He wanted to say stupid, so stupid. Bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wanted to call everyone stupid.
Like, yeah. All of a sudden, the offense has nothing to do with coaching. It's all Mac Jones' fault. Now, Mac hasn't had a great year, and I've been on him as well, but I don't believe it's all Mac Jones. This guy's out here trying to tell you that football's not about coaching.
Yeah.
It's not the coach's fault.
So when smart, successful
people, and I know it is about coaching,
like,
right?
Suddenly find themselves backed into a corner having to defend themselves, they start gaslighting you because they have this reputation that they can fall back on. So the sheep who call in all the time and say, hey, you're stupid, just listen to Bill. Bill just told you this. Bill just told you that. Why are you questioning him? He's telling you the earth is flat.
Exactly.
This is funny. It is funny. But, you know, a big win will solve some problems. Whether they have it in them, I don't know.
But, yeah, okay, listen, we're going to go to break here. We're past the deadline, getting the gaslighting thing.
It's a real thing.
We'll take your calls because some people are lining up right now at 617-779-7937. They want to get into it as well. When we come back, we'll dive more into the Patriots, get ready for the Buffalo Bills, and talk about this team right now that's really not that smart, to be honest with you. We'll do it next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We're right back to it. Back to Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
Well, let's get to some of your calls, 617-779-7937, before we hear from Charlie Weiss, who was on the Greg Hill Show this morning. Let's go to Mike in the car. Go ahead, Mike. You're on.
Hey, what's up, guys and gal? Real quick, before I make my point, I just want to say, hey, Christian, you know, I've called many times over the years, given you a hard time many times over the years, but honestly, what you did the other week for the with the fundraiser for diabetes, man, like, kudos to you, using your platform for good. I can't even joke around about it or poke fun at you for that, man. That was commendable, and I'm really impressed and proud of you for that.
Okay, thank you. Now start to rip me. Go ahead.
No. Actually, nothing to do with you at all. I meant to call last week and wasn't able to get to it. I really do. Anyways. The thing that's frustrating to me is, you know, coming into this week, a lot of people seem to be, like, optimistic about the offense. That's what I keep hearing. I'm optimistic about the offense. Yeah, Mac Jones did look better in spurts, and I still don't put most of the Patriots' struggles on them. I still think the coaching is terrible. They still can't score in the red zone. They still give away far too many first downs. I don't have the analytics or the all-22s. I know Charlie Weiss says, you know, play calling is easy from the couch. But even as a fan, I know that if you, as a defense, know what the other team is going to do 75% of the time, that it's pretty easy to stop them. And it seems like every first down is either going to be a run up the gut or it's going to be a wide receiver screen. You know, if you have an offensive line that, for the majority of the season, has had trouble blocking people, why do you call slow-developing plays and plays that require your guards and tackles to pull and get out in front in order to block for the play to work? They are not calling plays to give this team a chance to have success. It's like Matt Patricia is actually the one who doesn't trust the Patriots' defense. And just bear with me when I say that. He calls plays from the first quarter like he's trying to grind the clock down and limit the opportunities the other team has to touch the ball.
All right, thanks, Mike. I gotta go. We got a lot of guys online. I appreciate it. There was a lot there.
And that last bit's kind of interesting, though.
Which bit?
Matt Patricia may think that he's like owning the clock by like grinding this slow moving. Mm-hmm.
Well, I felt like last game was different. You know what I mean? Because last game they did move the ball, and it's funny he says that because it's like the Mac Jones 382 yards and two touchdowns sort of masks the fact you look at it and say, "Wow, that was a great offensive game." And we, you know, people are like, "Ah, I bet you're not complaining about Patricia now." And it's like, okay, hold on. Like they were 0-for-3 in the red zone.
Terrible on third down.
They're 3-for-10 on third down. You had the ball with, you know, in the fourth quarter, you couldn't put a point in the board in a tight ball game. You had a ball with 5 minutes to go, down 7. Drive went nowhere. So it's like these good numbers from Max sort of disguise the fact that it was a poorly played football game.
Well, I would say you're right. There were so many small issues.
It wasn't that great offensively.
Well, I think there were so many small issues that I think you know, obviously compounded the issue. Like, I mean, I can start listing them. Just little things that the team did that actually ended up like really just killing them, killing a drive, slowing the momentum, you know, just screwing up the play calling. I mean, that's what I think the issue is. If you want to, like, I still think he played well. I mean, he made a lot of unbelievable throws. I thought were great throws. They did slow down in the fourth quarter. Like they played tight, and in the red zone, I feel like they always play tight.
I know, but like I called the best game of his career
under the circumstances.
In the fourth quarter, he did absolutely nothing. With 5 minutes to go, and the drive went nowhere. Wasn't good on third down, and didn't score a touchdown in the red zone.
Well, if you're going to call
that's the greatest game he's ever
played.
Yeah,
you would think that he would end it by, you know, coming back and winning, leading the team down for an 80-yard drive for a score. Like you would say, well, I mean, but again, under the circumstances.
And I do believe that was his best game of his career.
Sometimes I feel like the first half of the season was almost a wash. Like, I want a mulligan for the first 8 games. I don't even want to count them.
Mm. Let me go to Tim in Hanover real quick. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, folks. Hey, yo. Mego, you're 100% right. It's 2022 right now. It's a whole different. You got different people playing the game, different guys out there. The thing is, they can't be too conservative. They started with the trips that took the pressure off of this kid. But then what they did is they went and they died out. They went to the A-gap. The A-gap's done. They got too many guys coming in. You got to go off tackle. Or you got to do the play action. None of these reverses. Reverses are when you got an engine going. They don't have an engine going. But the thing is, they can make it happen. And let's see, those penalties will cut down as long as they don't keep those guys getting overloaded where they got to make holding calls and they got to do whatever to stay alive.
Mm. Right, Tim. I love it. Like it sounds like Glenn. Ah, the A gap and the two gap and the C. Like, look out for the wham block. And oh no, look out for the 2i.
The X, the Z, vertical route.
He's right about the reverse though. Like just throwing
anybody
a reverse.
Can watch that play and just go, what were you? Why?
I know, but a reverse is like I've always said that there is a timing element that is learned when it comes to calling plays. Like bad timing, bad choice. Like, just terrible. Like, call something else
can
with
you
a
do
better,
it in
higher success rate.
10 weeks? 11 weeks?
No. You don't have six. You got 6 weeks, and this is what you're getting.
See, I thought Charlie Weiss was really good this morning. I don't want to play all the sound of him because, you know, he just basically talked about a veteran play caller, you know, doesn't go one play at a time. Once he puts a play in there, he looks at the scenario and says, okay, if this fails, if this succeeds, whatever. He's already called the play in, he's now thinking about the next 2 or 3 or 4. And I'm sure Matt Patricia's doing the same thing. I just don't know if he's got the Rolodex, you know what I mean, or the mind or where it goes. But I was curious when they asked him if he thought that, like, an experienced play caller, you know, if a guy like, I think they even talked about Billy O'Brien, if he was here, wouldn't this team be better? This is what Charlie Weiss had to say.
If you're asking me if you took a polished offensive coordinator that knows the system, could there be a slight difference? Yeah, there probably would be a slight difference.
What is a slight difference? And is that him just trying to be nice?
Yes, that's what a slight difference is. A slight difference is like, oh, well, could really go either way. Maybe you get a game or something. I don't believe that at all. If you had a competent, experienced play caller in there, I think you would have at least 2 more wins in your win column or maybe even 3. like looking back on the schedule that you've played, even taking into account Mac Jones dealing with that ankle injury, which, I mean, look, who knows if that happens, you know, or the back injury that he sustained very early in the season. Who knows if that happens, if the offensive line is playing up to their talent level, like all of these things are connected. I think it's crazy not to say that they would have 2 to 3 more wins
easily
right now.
A slight is one. Just imagine if it's one.
Bill O'Brien
is 2 all day long. Worst case scenario, 2.
You're 8-3.
Absolutely. I think you're right in the thick of it. You're right where you should be, because you can look. Listen, there was, I don't think they would have won the Baltimore game. I feel like they were really humming early in the season, and now they've kind of,
they might have,
you know, I don't know, but like the thing with Baltimore is like they can't hold a lead. You know, they
well, the thing, in fourth quarter, you're thinking, yeah, you're down like 5 points in the fourth, yeah, quarter, and you went interception, fumble, interception. Yeah.
Well, I don't think they would have been undefeated, I guess. So you have to take some of the wins and kind of, you know, some of the losses and say, like, okay, so Miami, I think they beat Miami to open the season.
Maybe.
Okay, because I think coaching had a major impact
Thursday
on that.
Thursday night they win.
How about
Thursday
the Bears?
Night? I think even Chicago, maybe you possibly win because you put more pressure on Fields. They don't play with
the
lead.
How about you not swapping out your
better
quarterbacks?
Well, again, even if you have to swap out your quarterback, you had 2 good series by Zappe, and then you completely just disappeared. So, you know, and then you have Mike White or whatever his name is, the quarterback at the Jets, just exactly. go up and down the field on them. So you sit there and go, wow, well, you really should have put more points up. So my thing is, like, absolutely a good, respectable, credible offensive coordinator can roll in here tomorrow and give you a better, I guess, opportunity than what you have right now.
I would
now
say from the moment Bill Belichick showed up in New England, obviously it's been outstanding. They've won a ton of Super Bowls. He's the greatest coach of all time. Thinking these two guys could run an offense for your second-year quarterback, to me, is the biggest F-up he's had since he's been here. Nobody thought it was going to work. It ain't working. I don't fault either one of these guys. He's the one that thought this would work. That's, to me, the biggest thing he's ever messed up here. That's the biggest mess up he's ever had. Has to be. I know earlier you talked about Malcolm Butler. Somebody might be able to explain that at some point before I die. There might actually be a reason for it that I might buy. There's nothing I would buy in thinking that these two guys should be running your second-year quarterback to say, you know, going from Josh McDaniels to these two. Biggest mess up he's ever had.
Arcan has a nominee.
Bigger than Spygate?
Yeah, listen, he ain't cheating, he ain't trying.
He got caught, though.
Yeah, I know, whatever. I mean, people get caught doing stupid stuff all the time.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was a big mess up. I'm not trying, but this one here, like that one there, okay. He was, you know, I don't know. What they told him to stop. He didn't want to stop. All the other stuff. I don't want to live through Spygate again.
No, let's do it again right now.
No, I can't do it. But I would say this one here. This is bad. This is real bad. And now they're probably going to have the third offensive coordinator in 3 years. But apparently that doesn't mean
you
anything.
You hope so. It'll fix everything.
Yeah, would you rather them not have a third offensive coordinator in 3 years? Would you rather them?
I'm just saying this isn't good for a quarterback.
Oh. No, okay.
Do you have to delete that?
You're getting a little punchy.
But judges do not accept.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like most,
only the Twitch chat.
Most rational people will say, this isn't good for Mac. Even if it is if it's not Billy O and they just bring in an offensive mind, they'll say, whatever. It's still not good. It's his third offensive coordinator in 3 years.
Yeah, and as soon as you said that, Lou, I started picturing like what the lineup would be of beat reporters who would be in line first to
That's
do that.
That's what you were picturing. Yeah, I was like, what he said?
Who would be first in line? How do I kiss Bill's? Can I be first to kiss
Bill's
ass?
But here's the thing. This is what absolutely needs to happen. You're right. I mean, they need a third offensive coordinator the first 3 years, and somehow people will spin it, and Bill will gaslight it to make everybody feel like, you know, this is normal.
I feel like we shouldn't have taught Lou gaslighting.
Yeah.
I feel like this is going to come back and bite us.
It's
taught Fourier.
Fourier
found it himself. He found it on Instagram.
But you guys, well,
technically, my wife found it on our shared Instagram
account.
They're
talking about gaslighting.
What does that mean?
Does that keep you warm?
What is
it? Does it give you better gas mileage?
Is this something in Beacon Hill, the lamps?
But what Mac needs next year is exactly what Tua Tagovailoa got this year. And I don't know if you saw it in the broadcast. I think social media is going everywhere. Like during their game in the broadcast, the sideline reporter was talking about Tua and last year how he was questioning himself.
I suck?
Yeah, looking in the mirror, do I suck? And questioning everything of whether he belongs in the league or not. And he had said that Mike McDaniel put a, 700-play clip together to kind of show him, like, why he's good. And the media got a hold of that during the game, obviously. They asked Mike McDaniel the next day about it. I want you to listen to Mike McDaniel talk about Tua, what he was going through last year this offseason, and tell me this isn't exactly what Mac Jones is probably going to be going through right now and this offseason.
Going off of straight fact, this was just using intuition that getting beat up and having your existence be completely tainted by people saying that you aren't X, Y, or Z. And then on top of that, from my vantage point, I felt like he was put behind the eight ball in a way with his strengths he couldn't play to. If you're not able to play to your strengths in your position that you've, one of the reasons you've gotten there is you're an unbelievable point guard. I felt, how could he, with all the things going on and all the, you know, it's a lot of loud noise that you try to ignore, but people are human.
So, I mean, how is that not Mac Jones? He's beaten down. He got put behind the eight ball with these two jamokes. They can't play to his strengths because they don't believe in play action or RPOs. And there's a lot of loud noise out there. We're sitting there talking about Bailey Zappi and how good he looked and why can't this guy play anymore? Like, it's exactly what Mac Jones is, what he needs next year to get built back up.
That is the, to me, that's a, and I feel like eventually when things change, like that's Tua Tagovailoa is like, it's not you. From Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
Like, it's not you.
It's not your
fault.
Do
you mean? Like, I lived my whole life, my whole pro career, thinking that I sucked and that people didn't trust me and I couldn't throw the ball and I had, like, a noodle for an arm. Remember that video that was going around and, like, during, OTAs, where he throws a ball in shells and shells, like, not, just shorts and a T-shirt?
Tyreek Hill had to stop and wait for
it. Yeah, and it was, like, all wobbly and stuff. Like, people were ripping him.
That was awesome.
Finally, like, someone came up to him and said, listen, dude, it's not your fault. Like, it's not you. You were coached by morons. You had co-offensive coordinators. You had two different people in your ear.
Wait, Mac, I'm sorry. You're talking about the Dolphins?
The Dolphins.
Oh, I thought you were talking about this Patriots team.
No, no.
Please continue. I'm sorry for interrupting.
That was Tua.
Oh, this is Tua.
Now, finally, Mike McDaniel says, you know what, dude? Listen, I looked at it. I'm smart. I know what I'm doing. It wasn't your fault. Bro, it wasn't your fault. Mac will eventually get the same opportunity to hear that from some coordinator.
From who?
Who knows what they're talking about.
When?
Well, it's going to be... It's going to be next year. There's no way that he keeps the same setup. Not a chance. Not a chance. You want to put him as a position coach? You want to have him, as a GM to sign contracts? Fine. Get him outside. Get him away from the offense. Get him away from Mac. And we'll see how much his loyalty, how loyal he really is to the guys who are loyal to him. We'll find out for real.
But it's also what Mike McDaniel, the organization, did for Tua as well. Will Bill Belichick go get him a Tyreek Hill? Will Bill Belichick spend some money for a left tackle and the left guard? Will Bill Belichick bring in an offensive mind that he can actually work with? You know, other than all that, rather than McDaniel, an offensive mind, he brought in Patricia and Judge. Rather than like two high-priced, offensive linemen, he, brought back Trent Brown and traded Shaq Mason. And instead of Tyreek Hill, he bought you Devontae Parker. So
I feel like it's
is that going to get better? Ryan,
yeah.
What do you got?
I mean, look, we keep...
I'm sorry. Please go ahead,
Megan. We keep hearing about all this money that they're going to have to play with after this season when they go into free agency. So, I mean, if they play this the right way, the way that the Dolphins have, and Lou, to your credit very much that you predicted that they would, that they would look this way, they got to support the quarterback. They have to support the quarterback with a real coordinator who can help his development. They have to support the quarterback with better pieces around him on offense. I'm not saying that the pieces that they have right now aren't good. They have some good talent on it, but they need an elite pass catcher.
And the last time they had a bunch of money to spend, they went out, first off, got targets before even knowing who the quarterback was. Signed all these guys, didn't even know who the hell the quarterback was. Then they drafted Mac Jones. But they spent a ton of money, more money than most people have ever spent in an offseason. And it got you Bourne, Aguilar, Jonnu Smith, and Hunter Henry.
Well, they had to spread it around because of the bad
What do you think they're going to do this time? Think they're going to just give like one guy $28 million
as
a wide receiver?
I would love it.
Not a chance.
Well, I think the thing that concerns me personally is Mike McDaniel was an outsider to this organization. They brought in somebody who just took 5 minutes to look around and go, oh, wow, this is not working. And look at my quarterback is down. He's broken mentally. He thinks he sucks. I can't see the Patriots doing that. We're like, all right, we're going to bring in somebody who has no ties, who can actually turn and go, guys, what the hell are you doing? This isn't working. No wonder your quarterback is so cranky and ornery.
Your offensive coordinator came in and said, I looked at film when he was in college. And you know what? We're going to go back to his strengths. Throwing the ball deep to wide open, very talented wide receivers who get separation.
Yeah, because we're always going to have the advantage because our guys are always going to be better.
And what you saw?
I think the worst part is you had this guy. Like Lou says, can the Patriots go find the guy? You had him. His name was Josh McDaniels, and you let him walk out the door, you're going to go. No, I really believe that. I really believe that. Now Mac has to go, I got a taste of the good life. I got to see how green the grass was on this side. And then you bring in these two schmucks, and things have gotten so much worse, and I got to sit through this.
It sure has. All right, we got a few more good calls lined up there. We'll get to them on the other side as well as last call. It's all coming up next.
WEEI, New England Sports Original. Now back to Maloney, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
All right, before we get the last call, because it is Buffalo Bill week, we got to bring back an old tradition.
Oh,
let's go to the phone calls first. Let's go to Brian in Barrington. Go ahead, Brian. You're on the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. A long-time listener, just calling every once in a while. Just a good topic. It's a fun conversation that if you just add a good offensive coordinator, you're going to automatically have like three or four more wins. You probably have me listed as your Raider guy, but that didn't happen because McDaniels is supposed to be one of the greatest offensive coordinators in the league, and he destroyed the Raiders. So I don't know if just adding an offensive coordinator, winning in football takes a lot more than just adding a part because I see the Patriots are there, but I don't know if you just add a great offensive coordinator. So, I mean, I guess that would just be my spin on it is you added this great offensive mind and won six Super Bowls to the Raiders, and all of their losses have been because of his play calling, time management, clock management. It's just been abysmal. So
let me ask you a question, Brian, real quick, though, on Josh McDaniels. You've lost, what, four games up 17?
Yeah, three games up 17, and he went for two down 1 point to Kansas City with 2 minutes and 14 seconds left, which is just absurd.
I get it, but I'm just saying if you're up 17 points, is that the offense's fault, or you're defensively just giving it up? You can't stop anybody late.
No, because against the Cardinals, they were up 21 points with 10 minutes and 56 seconds left. His play calling was incomplete pass, incomplete pass, incomplete pass. They took 11 seconds off the clock. The Cardinals needed every second to go to overtime. That last score they would use, if he had ran once. So you think Brady, if he had thrown in, hey, we're going to throw it three times, he would have told McDaniels, I don't think so. We're running at least once.
No, listen, Brian, I understand. I feel for you being a Raider fan. Josh McDaniels is not a good head coach. I mean, there's no debate there. He's not proven it. He's actually proven that he's just not a good head coach. I think he's a good offensive coordinator. I think he's a good offensive mind. You know, so I don't know. And the disconnect down there, whatever. It's year one. Who knows?
Maybe that.
I don't think there's any question if Billy O'Brien was the offensive coordinator in this team. They're at least 7-4, 8-3.
I don't even think it's a question.
They're 31st in the league in red zone offense. If they were average, they'd have another win or two.
If you would say out of all the teams in the NFL, what would you rank this offensive coaching staff? Just the coaching staff alone. Now, I know we can't like dissect everyone, but based
bottom
on the stats and based on how they're
bottom three,
absolutely,
or four.
Yeah, bottom four or five.
Yeah.
So if you bring like a really good one into the mix and you kind of put him in charge, it would be significantly better. It's not five games better.
No.
But it's two games, which is the difference between making the playoffs and not making the playoffs.
Leading the division right now if you're 8-3.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. Listen, so I just don't see it. Part of me is optimistic about their chances, but I just every time I think about, you know, Josh Allen with the ball with 50 seconds left, I feel like they're winning the game. They're winning the game.
Unless he makes a really boneheaded decision in the red zone and John Jones comes in and picks it off and runs it back.
He's been close now. Jonathan Jones has been close the last two weeks.
It's
going to
be a long
routes.
Run, though.
Yeah, it's got to be. He's got to. What he's got to do, though, Mego, he's got to run it back for a touchdown.
That's what I mean. It's going to be a long run for him.
He has to do. Like, get the one.
Or go down around the 30, and then maybe they got a shot in that fringe area.
You can't win on a field.
I'm just saying, they got a better shot of scoring from the fringe than they do from the red zone, apparently.
Fringe is dynamic also. Yeah.
They scored twice from the fringe last time, last game.
Maybe that's the way. Maybe that's their sweet spot.
All right, let's get the last call. Brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car.
So
you can donate today and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or give them a call at 1-877-CARS-4-KIDS. kids.
It's a treat for you coming up, Mago. It's a big treat.
It's Buffalo Bill Week.
We haven't done this in a while.
No, we haven't done this.
Hey, Chuck.
Mac from Boston.
Chris.
Chuck. Let's go to Chris in Massachusetts.
Hey, how you doing?
My wife is from Kansas.
You wouldn't know a good cup of clam chowder if I threw it in your face.
I'm a Pats fan living in New York.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm in Denver. I work in medical sales. I'm selling stuff out here. I'm running down to Boulder, Colorado. Love Boulder.
The only Rodney we respect out here on the East Coast is Rodney Harrison.
And this is Christian Fourier.
No, it isn't Christian Fourier.
Come on, Christian. If it's you, you can do much better than that. Come on.
This is so bad.
I got a cold. I'm sick. I didn't get much sleep last night.
Even, hey, thanks for the call, Chris. Really enjoyed it. Bill is up next in Nashville. Bill, go right ahead.
That may be one of the great calls we've ever had.
All right, later.
So, Fourier, Chuck from Foxborough, we like to call him.
Wow.
This was one of his, like, originals.
Yeah.
Because you didn't even go Chuck in Foxborough.
I don't even remember. This
might be the first.
Yes. What year is this?
2017.
Before I was with the show, so at least 2016, 2017.
I still work
here. You guys were talking about it like it was, like, 2007.
Oh, he wasn't on radio.
No,
we're both
still
playing
in the NFL.
Still playing in 2007.
Like,
I think it was older than that.
2017. That was 5 years ago.
I did this the first year I worked here.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was 2017.
Yeah, 6, 7 years ago.
Yeah, it was a while.
You know how
ago.
You can tell what point in time this is? You can tell how verbose Fourier is with his bragging. Yeah. So this is.
All right, let's hear it.
WGR Christian had to call in and talk about how great the Patriots were.
Christian, you're on WGR. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hey. What the heck are you guys talking about? The Bills will never, ever, ever beat the Patriots. Ever. I'm up in Buffalo. I come from Boston to come watch the game, to come watch the Pats beat the heck out of the Bills. And you're sitting here telling me that you think the Bills are going to beat the Patriots. The Bills never beat the Patriots. Tell me how they're going to beat the Patriots.
By scoring more points.
No, it's not going to happen. You guys beat what? Detroit? Why? Because Matthew Stafford's an idiot? Because they don't know how to manage the game? And you're telling me Kyle Orton is going to beat the Patriots over Tom Terrific Brady?
Christian, are you trying to get me into live character for the Bees are the best? Is that what's happening?
No. How are they going to do it? I'm sitting here. I'm listening to local radio down here. There's some guy named Sal something. Capaccio, and he's talking about how this is the biggest game in Buffalo history in 16 years. Is it?
For sure. Because the Bills are pathetic. And the Bees are the best, and Brady's God.
The Patriots say, okay, bam, we're going to slam it at you. Here comes Ridley. Bam. What else? You want a piece of Gronk? Yum, yum. Give me some of that. What are you guys going to do? Robert Woods? What? Sammy Watkins? Like, that's going to be an issue? We will just cover them up and put them in a cocoon. It's never going to happen. The Bills are sorry. You and your new owner, Pagulia, whatever, him and his daughter sending out that picture, you know, rubbing their money in our faces like we're not good enough. Like, what's that about? I used to love Buffalo. I used to come up there all the time for the games. The Pats would be the only time I was there. Well, Buffalo had a really good game. 2003. Okay, 31-0. And then what happened at the end of the year? 31-0. All up in your face. That's what happened, okay? Like, what do you guys have to do? I'm looking for the place where they have all the wings. I knew Jim Kelly had a restaurant there. He had a restaurant there, and I went there years ago, back when House Ballad used to play there, and I used to see Big House. I'd be, House, what's up? And he'd say, yo, what's up? Back to me. And it was great.
You know what? I think you should approach 30 for 30 and see if they'll put that on TV, on ESPN. What if I told you?
Well, Big House was great.
The guy from Foxborough said hi to House Ballard.
He was as big as a house. Why do you think they gave him that nickname?
I don't know.
He's big.
By the way.
Oh, God.
If Kyle Orton was the quarterback, that was 2014.
No, I'm telling you, it was when I first got here. Sammy Watkins. Robert Woods.
Kyle Orton? Sammy Watkins, like.
What kind of accent?
It's kind of a Wiggy inspired Boston.
It's what
South
Christian
Boston.
Thought a Boston accent.
Yes,
really
exactly
bad.
Right.
Yeah, because Sammy
was
Watkins
really bad. Christian
last
Can
year
you do
in Buffalo
now?
Was 16. That must have been 2014. It's the only year Kyle Orton was there.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
It's a worse accent than the therapist in The Departed.
Oh, Kyle Orton is going to beat the Patriots over Tom Terrific Brady?
No, I'll tell you what, guys. Here's the thing. We're not going to do
that?
It today.
That's so long, though.
But I would say Mego and Arcan, we will find you your bad accents.
Yes.
This was like the first one.
Oh, yeah. It gets
There's
worse.
Like five or six more.
Well, the best thing about Buffalo is that we were able to call them, I think, 3 years in a row, twice a year. And they picked up every single time. And they let me talk every single time. But like, you're right. very arrogant because there was no chance of them ever winning.
I'm a Pats fan living in New York. And
this
I'm
is
just...
Christian Fourier.
Well, they no, called... it's not Fourier, it's Chuck.
Well, Matthew let's... Stafford's an idiot because they don't know how to manage the game. And you're telling me Kyle Orton? Kyle Orton is...
Let's just say they caught. Let's say they caught on to me.
Come a long way.
That's 2014. A long time ago. I can't even do that.
Holy
voice anymore.
Smokes!
I can't even do it.
Thank yeah, we'll play some others. We'll play some others for you guys. I think
there's gonna be a whole retrospect because
so.
I don't think I'll ever be able to do it again.
Can't wait.
Ever.
What's next week? Arizona. We need to call. Arizona.
Well, I won't be able to call Buffalo anymore. Like,
and I used to see Big House. Big House. What's up?
Big House.
No, we got to play them the medical sales too. What do you do for a living? That's good. I sell medical sales. We'll have to play that one for you. I think in the next couple of days.
I sell medical sales.
I sell medical sales. That was one of the. And then
that was a classic.
And then that was just that's was his job. I think after you kept calling.
Yeah, every time I called, what do? I sell medical sales.
I'm in
every
town.
Team.
I sell medical sales. Every single prank. All right, that's gonna do it for us. Much got you covered. He's got a full show, I believe. We'll be back at it tomorrow. By the way, tomorrow we'll talk to Dan Orlovsky at 3 and Brian Scalabrine. He will join us at 4 o'clock like both those guys every single Wednesday. So Scal is back in the fold. 4 o'clock every Wednesday. We know Dan Orlovsky, 3 o'clock every Wednesday. So we got a busy show
and
for
Helix,
you tomorrow.
Helix on Thursday. We'll be there from 2 to 6.
That's right.
At Helix, Gillette Stadium. It's a great time. Great wings, great food. Bars open. Come visit us. Hang out.
Thursday
throw stuff
night
at
football.
Us.
Get ready for the game.
What is your business in Detroit? What
I sell medical sales. I sell, you know, devices for doctors.
Stupid. It's great.
Helix Sports, before the Patriots Thursday Night Football. We'll be down there on Thursday from 2 to 6 as well. That's going to do it for us tonight. Have a great night, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow, too.
It's Bills Week on WEEI.
Patriots quarterback Mac Jones on Merlone Fourier Echo.
Getting you set for Patriots and Bills.
Yeah, I think they've done a good job. Ever since Leslie Frazier's been there the past 5 years, and Coach McDermott obviously has a great defensive background, so they just do a lot of really good fundamental things schematically. It's a lot of really good things they have going for them. At the end of the day, we just got to go out there and compete really against ourselves and understand who we're going against here. This is top defense in the league. So yeah, it's going to be a big challenge, but really just starts with us.
Miss Pat's QB, Mac Jones on Merlone, Fourier, and Mego. Listen to it on demand, anywhere, anytime. Download the Odyssey app and take Boston sports with you everywhere you go.
WEEI.
WEEI. New England Sports Original.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.